The Canadian Cancer Society recently released its report, Canadian Cancer Statistics 2009, with a specific focus on cancer in adolescents and young people 15 to 29 years of age. It looked at some of the specific challenges that confront young people diagnosed with cancer, its effect on their families, friends, and their overall life outlook. And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Ronald Barr, professor in the departments of pediatrics, pathology, and medicine at McMaster University and chief Service of Hematology Oncology, McMaster Children's Hospital. Good afternoon.
Hello, Barry.
I first wanted to ask what the data source was used for this report. How did the Canadian Cancer Society collect this information?
This is an annual exercise where they predict what the burden of cancer will be in the Canadian population, and it's largely derived from Statistics Canada, which is of course an element of the federal government.
What are, in terms of, before we get to the adolescents and young adults, in terms of the overall cancer statistics in Canada, what do we know with regards to the total number of people or the number of Canadians in Canada that have cancer, and what are the most common types? Because cancer is a big word that covers a whole range of different disease entities.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm the right person to answer that for you, because my clinical practice is limited to children and adolescents.
Okay.
Although the interest is now expanding, as you pointed out, into this young adult age group who have not heretofore been served particularly well by the conventional child-oriented and older adult-oriented healthcare systems.
Now, can you focus a bit on and you're alluding to this in your last comment, on some of the reasons for choosing to focus on this population? What makes this population the emphasis in this study?
Well, there's for some time now been a recognition that the needs of this group, who are no longer children and in many instances not yet fully fledged adults, are not well met by either the healthcare system that is based in children's hospitals or the healthcare system that is reflected in regional cancer centers, where the great majority of adults with cancers receive their treatment. These young people have needs quite apart from the specific treatment for their malignant disease that singles them out as being different from children and different from older adults. When you think about it, you know, they're a phase in their lives where they're either embarking on post-secondary education or new careers or new relationships and new families, and they're struggling to be independent, separate from their core family. And then, boom, they get hit with a diagnosis of cancer, and all of this stuff just gets put back into the melting pot, and they need an enormous amount of support to help them find their way through it.
And I would imagine that the cancers that they are dealing with are very different than the cancers that someone in their 50s or 60s would be dealing with.
Oh, how true. And indeed different from the cancers that afflict young children. You're absolutely right. This is a unique spectrum of disease, and it changes even within this age group of 15 to 29. We call adolescents 15 to 19 and young adults 20 and up. 29 is a convenient upper age limit. And even as you go from 15 to 19 into young adults, the spectrum of diseases changes. So in these young folks, we don't see the kind of diseases that are most common in preschool age children, and we don't see the kind of diseases that are most common in older adults, like cancer of the lung, cancer of the colon, cancer of the breast, and so on. But as you move up through this age spectrum, from the 15-year-olds to the 29-year-olds, you begin to see some of the cancers that are much more common in older people. So it's a spectrum of disease that is peculiar to this age group, but within the age group, that spectrum also changes.
So what are the types of cancers you see, for example, in that 15 to 19 and then 20 to 29 age groups?
Right. The predominant diseases in this age group are lymphomas and cancers of the testicle and the ovary, and thyroid cancer.
Hmm.
Now, in addition, there are cancers that, although not as frequent as those, are most common in this age group. So some of the bone tumors and tumors of soft tissues like muscle are indeed as common, if not more common, in this age group between childhood and older adult life than they are at any other point mm-hmm. in life.
Is there an idea of how many people in this particular cohort develop cancer each year? Are there statistics for that?
There are, and that was indeed a focus of this particular issue of the National Statistics on Cancer, which, as it does every year, had a much broader set of results, but then had this additional focus on the 15 to 29-year-olds. Now, what happens is that as you come from early childhood through adolescence into young adult life, and then on into older adults, the incidence of cancer increases progressively. Mm-hmm. And when you get to the end of this period of young adult life, it sort of takes off. So, for instance, in childhood, the total number of new diagnoses in a year amounts to only about 1% of the total number of cancer cases in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And there are more than that in this intervening group. But even then, the total number is nowhere close to the number that affects older people. After all, the average age at which the average Canadian gets cancer is about 67 or 68. So you can see this age group is very different.
So is that why, given the smaller percentage of overall cancers that are seen in the country each year, that there isn't as much attention, at least the report seems to point to, the issues you mentioned, the life stage that people are in, these issues are not dealt with as fully as some of the other diseases that tend to affect many more people on a per capita basis?
Yeah, I think that is right. And, you know, we've sort of got our act together better for children, recognizing that often they are in young families, you know, struggling to meet their own life objectives. And then they get hit with a diagnosis of cancer in one of their kids, and that poses a whole lot of problems mm-hmm. that we've actually pretty much been able to deal with. But what we've not done is recognized adequately that there are special needs in this adolescent young adult group, and we certainly haven't been able mm-hmm. to harness the resources to address them.
Were there any findings in this report that were unexpected?
There were. Because one of the things that's concerned us is data from the United States that suggested that the survival rate for young people in this intermediate age group had not kept pace with the improvement in the survival rates for children and for older adults.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty scary when we discovered that a few years ago. And there are some interesting potential explanations for that, most of which probably reside within the American healthcare system itself. Happily, we have a very different healthcare
right.
system here where access is much less of a problem, and of course, funding is very different.
Mm-hmm.
So there's less of a burden on individuals in terms of what it means to them in outlay of money
right.
when they access the Canadian healthcare system. It's not no burden. We've actually studied that. It can be quite considerable, but it's nowhere close to what the burden is in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But when the statistics were revealed just last week, it turned out that in Canada, we appear to be doing much better in terms of survival rates for this group as a whole, and that the survival rates are continuing to improve as they are for children and older adults. So this was very different from the scenario south of the border.
And in terms of hypothesizing why, does it go back to the having more rapid access, quicker access to treatment, as opposed to potential delays in their system?
I think it in large measure does. There are several problems in young people accessing the system in the U.S. that are much less of a barrier in Canada. Access is one issue, but it's compounded by, at least in the United States, the big challenge of insurance.
Mm-hmm.
We know that people in this intermediate age group, particularly the young adults, are among the most uninsured and underinsured in the United States. So their ability to pay for health care is severely compromised. Happily, as you know, this is not an impediment to obtaining good health care in Canada. So the likelihood is that the differences in these results are health care system related in large measure.
And what recommendations flow from this report? What would you like to see implemented immediately? Which recommendations can take a bit more time? How should this be structured with regards to treating this population?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is we mustn't take too much comfort in the statistics. And the reason for that is because in some measure they are a reflection of the fact that some of the common tumors in this age group have very high survival rates. And those survival rates really haven't changed very much in recent times. So things like thyroid cancer and testicular cancer have survival rates of 95% or better.
Mm-hmm.
So that drags up the average. And it looks great when you say, oh, the five-year survival rate for adolescents and young adults is 85%.
Right.
Well, if it's 85%, but a whole bunch of them are at 95%.
You got to have ones below that.
There's a whole bunch of them a lot less than 85%. So we need to look in more detail at which forms of cancer are not enjoying those high survival rates and devote much more attention to attempting to answer the question, why is that? But beyond the simple issue of, and it's not so simple, of survival, is the broader matter of what's the best way to deliver comprehensive health care to this 15 to 29-year-old age group. It isn't either having them come to children's hospitals or go to adult-oriented regional cancer centers, because in neither instance are the special needs of this group adequately met. You know, they say, well, we don't want to be housed in the same room as a one-year-old.
Right.
And we sure don't want to be housed in the same room as an 80-year-old. Our interests are different. Our needs are clearly different. So we have to devise healthcare systems that much better meet their needs, while at the same time figuring out which of the diseases that we're not doing so well with.
Dr. Ronald Barr is professor in the Departments of Pediatrics, Pathology and Medicine at McMaster University and Chief Service of Hematology Oncology at McMaster Children's Hospital. And Dr. Barr, I'd like to thank you very much for giving a really good overview of the Canadian Cancer Statistics 2009. And I hope to follow up, since this comes out every year, with in 2010, follow up on how well these recommendations have been implemented, other improvements to the system, and hopefully some of those percentages with regards to some of the cancers below that 85% 5-year survival rates start to creep up a little bit.
I hope so too, Barry. I'd look forward to it.